Welcome to BBS Radio Late Nights. This is Flying Higher, and I'm your host, Gina E. Jones, for this evening. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, I'm the founder of Seeing the Light Productions and the author of the newly released book, Flying Between Heaven and Earth. Flying Higher is a new and enlightening program here on BBS Late Night Radio that is ready to soar and to help those who are seeking a true understanding of what is presently happening in this tumultuous world. And this life-changing program has the power to help replace fear with love as it answers questions about the true purpose of our lives and where we're ultimately going. And tonight I'm thrilled to have Dr. Susan Shumsky with us this evening. She's a highly acclaimed and respected author of the best-selling book, Divine Revelations, among many other books that she has published. And she will be with us tonight. The topic is using the law of attraction and actually getting results. Susan, welcome this evening. It's nice to have you with us.
I'm thrilled to be here, Gina.
And where are you this evening?
I'm in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Actually, Belleville,
Arkansas. Okay, mm-hmm. And I'm here in Huntington Beach, so it's wonderful to see how we can use the technology of today and be able to have this dialogue and come to bring this information to listeners around the world, what we're doing and what we have to share this evening.
It's very exciting.
It is very exciting. And Susan, you're also a doctor of divinity. You have had the most extraordinary life, I think, of almost anyone that I've ever met. I do want to brag a little bit about you because you have your book, Divine Revelation, which is now in its 10th printing with Simon & Schuster. That is really a wonderful, extraordinary accomplishment. And
I'm really
published
excited.
In several languages, so I know you're quite proud of that.
I am, in fact.
Yes, some of your other books, Exploring Meditation, Exploring Chakras, Exploring Auras, and Miracle Prayer. So welcome, and I'm excited to get going with your program. Just so everybody gets to know a little bit about how we connected, I met Susan at the Celebration of Oneness out here in California in Pasadena at the end of last year, and then we reconnected at the Conscious Life Expo in February at the LAX Hilton, which was a marvelous event. And Susan has traveled around the world and has some wonderful messages to share. Can you give us a little bit more about your background? I think it's more helpful to hear it from you than it is for me to read it, because your life is quite extraordinary.
Well, I've been practicing spiritual disciplines for 40 years. And I was in the ashram of spiritual master from India, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who was the guru of the Beatles and Deepak Chopra. I was in his ashram for 22 years. And I was on his personal staff for 7 of those years. And I lived in Europe for 7 years and in his ashram under his tutelage, under his direct tutelage. And when I was in the ashram, I used to meditate up to 20 hours a day. I would go into my room and would not appear for up to 8 weeks at a time. I would have the food brought to the door. I used to go into silence, and I observed total silence, would not even utter a word for up to 4 months at a time. And I would fast for up to 2 months at a time and practiced celibacy for decades. So I was under a lot of discipline. You know, I was really an introvert, and that's definitely an understatement.
Well, maybe that explains why you look so good. I mean, I look at the years here, and I try to calculate it, and it's phenomenal that you've been on this path for so long, and yet you exude such energy and vibrance and vitality, and I guess that's your secret. It sounds quite extraordinary. What led you onto this path initially?
Well, I was a hippie in the 60s. And I used to live in the Bay Area of San Francisco, where it was all happening. And I used to go to the Fillmore Auditorium and the Avalon Ballroom and the B-Inns and the Love-Inns and Golden Gate Park and the People's Park over in Berkeley. And I was definitely a love child. I was fully into that whole scene. And the people who were into that scene, many of them were really interested in Eastern philosophy. And because I lived in Berkeley, the school in Berkeley, the university there, they teach a lot of Eastern philosophy. So I started studying the Buddhist texts and other scriptures, and I read Alan Watts' The Way of Zen. And in his book, The Way of Zen, it is said that you need to find a meditation guide. And at that time, in 1966, you didn't look in the yellow pages for meditation. There was no such thing. And but I read that book, and I really wanted to find a meditation guide. And I asked one of my roommates there, well, you know, how do I find a meditation guide? He said, well, have you tried to meditate yourself? So I thought, oh, well, okay, I'll try it. Give it a shot. Why not? So I lay on my bed. I didn't know anything about what to do or, you know. So I lay down on my bed, and I just kind of asked or prayed for a meditation. And immediately I was propelled into this ecstatic state. And I felt this rush of energy coming up from the tips of my toes all the way up through the top of my head. And I felt like I was being plugged, like I was plugged into an electric socket or electric cord. And this cord was running through my body. And, you know, so I just lay there with this ecstasy and this kind of electric energy flowing through me. And I figured, okay, I guess that's meditation.
Sounds good to me.
Didn't know any better. So that was my first meditation, and that was my first Kundalini experience all at once, you know.
Wow.
So that was how I first got into the whole thing about meditation, was through searching the scriptures and reading some books, and then I read Autobiography of a Yogi, and that was very influential in my life, and I know a lot of people read that book at that time. And
right.
And that's how I got into it, and pretty soon after that, I found myself on the banks of the Ganges River in India with this spiritual master, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi.
Wow. Again, this extraordinary life you've led. That in itself, I think, could be a book. Have you considered doing that?
Yeah, I wrote that book. My agent is trying to sell it right now.
Oh, good. Excellent. Well, I want to be of the first to read that. That sounds quite extraordinary. I think back on those years, I'm thinking, what was I doing? I was just zoned out. I was still in the illusion. I still had no clue what was going on, but that was my mission at the time, I guess, and that was what I was supposed to do. Well, again, I am so excited to have you here this evening, and there's a lot of things coming about now that's coming to consciousness about everything. Of course, you know, everybody's hearing now about The Secret and the Law of Attraction. Again, I sort of share with friends and family that this is, you know, old information that's been repackaged, but it seems to be appealing to the broader masses, and yet there are people like yourself who have been sharing this for decades about how to manifest and to use these energies and to, you know, bring forth the things that we want. Maybe you can add a little bit more about your take on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, the law of attraction is just one of the many spiritual laws of the universe. And the law of attraction is basically that like attracts like. So also called the law of correspondences. And ultimately, it really is the law of karma. The law of karma is stated very succinctly and beautifully by somebody from Nazareth, and that somebody said, it is done unto you according to your belief. It is done unto you as you believe. So whatever it is that you believe is going to happen to you is exactly what will happen to you.
Now, do you feel like that maybe what you feel like you believe that's going to happen to you is maybe a premonition or some subconscious understanding of what you've actually signed up for, and that's what maybe makes you focus on it, or you think maybe there are outside forces, say the media or other people's fears or things that are perpetuated that make you aware of these things and you sort of bring that in and create your own reality?
I believe that we create our own reality, that we are 100% responsible for everything that happens to us. I believe that nothing, in fact, ever happens to us. We only happen to ourselves. In other words, we are the one that is creating this play. We're not only the actor on the stage of the play, we also are the director, you know, the producer, the cameraman. We are also in the audience. And, in fact, we're the script writer. We wrote the script of the play of our life. So everything is created by us, and we are fully responsible for everything, and there is no force, nothing outside of us that is creating our reality. We create it ourselves. So we are co-creating our reality along with God, in other words. I mean, obviously, you know, God created this universe, and God creates everything in the universe, but we are co-creators with God. We create everything that we manifest everything through our thoughts, our words, and our deeds.
Well, that's an interesting way that you presented that with that analogy, because I've certainly felt that way many, many times. I, you know, actually espouse that in a lot of different things regarding the fact that we do have a script and that we are on a stage and that there is an audience and there are people behind the scenes and things like that. But I never thought about it that it's actually us, that we are the producer. I like the way you put that. And we are the director. We wrote the script. We're in the audience, and we're the ones who are pulling forth this entire drama. That's a very interesting perspective, and I've never had it presented quite that way. That's something that's very hard for a lot of people to grasp.
I know.
When those who are in victim mode, can you maybe explain a little bit more how somebody who feels like their whole life is controlled by outside forces could understand this?
Right. You're absolutely right. It is very difficult for most people to grasp this concept. And the secret that is out right now is just like a little kindergarten version of what the reality is. The reality is that we create everything. And in my first six chapters of my book, my new book, Miracle Prayer, which is my new book, which is about 9 steps to creating prayers that get results, in the first 6 chapters of that book, I explain in detail how this law of attraction works. And the thing is that Lord Buddha said that all that we are is the result of what we have thought. He said that in Dhammapada 1.1. That's his most important scripture is Dhammapada. And the very first verse of that scripture, Lord Buddha says, all that we are is the result of what we have thought. If we speak or act with a positive thought, then, you know, good things follow us. And if we speak or act with a negative thought, then, you know, it doesn't turn out very well. That's a paraphrase of what he said. And it is so important, that one first sentence, all that we are is the result of what we have thought. And our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, that is what creates our life. Because we think and we speak and we act into manifestation. So whatever it is that takes place in our life is a result of something that we have thought, something that we've either dreamed about consciously or, unfortunately, often subconsciously. So, of course, we don't want consciously to have an accident. We don't want to have a car accident, for example.
Right.
We would never wish that upon ourselves. But our subconscious mind is the part of the mind that actually rules the roost. In other words, no matter what it is that we believe or think consciously, it is our subconscious mind, which we're often not conscious of at all, that's why it's called subconscious, that part of the mind is what truly manifests what really happens in our life. So if we have a subconscious belief that we feel we need to be punished, or we have a subconscious belief of fear of something that we're not even conscious of that fear, then that will manifest in our life whether we like it or not, because the subconscious mind is what truly creates our destiny.
Now, what is programming the subconscious mind? I mean, where does that come from?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And what's programming our subconscious mind is many different things. It is our own beliefs from the past, and I believe in reincarnation. I believe that we have past lives and that our subconscious mind doesn't go away. It continues throughout our lifetimes. So it's our past experiences from this life and from past lives, and it's all the experiences that we have in this life. For example, if we're in school, let's say, and the teacher says, you know, you'll never amount to anything, you're a terrible student, or some, you know, horrible thing, if some teacher or maybe some parent says something like that, then that gets stored in our subconscious mind, and it begins to create a self-image. And the self-image is truly what manifests in our life.
Mm-hmm.
So if we believe ourselves to be fat, for example, if someone was always calling us fatty when we were a child or we were young, and we have this belief that we're fat and that we'll never be thin, that belief will manifest in our body. I mean, you know, it'll happen.
No, I agree with that, definitely. I think so that's also where you... Go ahead, Susan, I'm sorry.
So our subconscious mind, basically, unfortunately, for, is the manifester of what happens. So when Jesus said, "It is done unto you according to your belief," he wasn't talking about the conscious belief. He was talking about the subconscious belief.
Oh, okay. Now, what I was going to interject there is the what a lot of the pharmaceutical companies are well aware of is the placebo effect. And again, a lot of what we think or we believe is what actually will happen. And they've even, you know, shown this with drugs. If you're told that you're given a medication or something that will, you know, fix you for whatever ailments you may have, if you actually believe it, you create it. Again, that shows the, how the power of intention and how the power of manifestation can occur when you have a certain thought. And you really, you know, grasp that. Now, whether or not it's, you know, it works 100%, I don't know. But there is a large percentage, and this is shown and documented all the time when they test pharmaceuticals and different, you know, medications, that there
that's
is
right.
a
that's
percentage
why they have
of
to
people.
Double,
yeah,
that's
the,
why they have to do double-blind studies, because otherwise it will be messed up by this placebo effect thing. And that's
yes,
the reason
exactly.
why it's very difficult to do studies on prayer. The fact is that they tried to do studies on prayer, but they couldn't really control it. You couldn't have a control group because you never know who's praying for who. People might be praying for themselves. Other people might be praying for them. So you can't really have a very solid scientific study on prayer in humans. But what they did do is they did studied yeast. They studied, like, organisms or plants
mm-hmm.
or something like that, and they were able to actually get precise and concrete results with prayer when they used these plant experiments rather than human experiments.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I've seen some of that, and it's quite extraordinary for anybody who wants to venture into that a little bit further, even into yogurt and eggs and plants and all sorts of things. Yes, it shows again how we're all connected and we're all part of one. Now, it's interesting, again, for people who have not heard this and really do not even want to own up to their part in what has happened in their lives. I think it's important point that you make is that there are no victims, that there are only volunteers. Maybe you can explain a little bit more about what that means to volunteer, especially when it comes to extraordinary events in someone's life like abuse or rape or war or any other extraordinary circumstances that happens in someone's life, disease or disability.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I mean, this was something actually that Terry Cole Whitaker came up with, this phrase, there are no victims, there are only volunteers. And it's very true, because the fact is that we create our destiny through our thoughts, words, and deeds. So whatever it is that is happening in our life is something that we subconsciously drew by the magnetic law of attraction. We drew that experience into our life. We can't blame ourselves for it. I mean, it's not a good idea to get into like a guilt trip over it. But the fact is that you did create it. Now, there's many reasons why a person might create such a horrible situation as rape. Naturally, the conscious mind doesn't want to create that. Nobody wants to be raped. But the subconscious mind may believe that it deserves punishment or that it deserves this, or the subconscious mind may believe that it needs to have this experience in order, maybe later in their life, to help women who have this difficulty, and that they could maybe go into counseling, and so they subconsciously want to create this for themselves so they can experience it firsthand. I mean, you never know what your soul has in mind or what your subconscious mind has in mind for you and the reason that things happen. That everything does happen for a reason, and it happens because we choose it. There is nothing else choosing our life except for ourselves. We choose everything, and we choose it individually and also collectively. So if there's a collective horrible thing that happens, such as being in the place where a tsunami is going to happen at the time, we volunteered for that subconsciously. Our soul, either before we were born, we volunteered for it, our soul volunteered for that for one reason or another, or we just believed that we deserved for this to happen. I mean, we do create our reality on every level, individually and collectively. And I know this is a really hard pill to swallow, because a person who feels themselves to be a victim, they don't want to be anything other than a victim. They don't want to take responsibility for it. They don't want to think, oh, I created this. Well, in a sense, it's not you that you consciously created it. It's that subconsciously, unconsciously, you created it.
Right. Yeah, the thing that I've heard, maybe you believe this or don't, I'm not sure, and we'll explore this a little bit further, but I've heard with other people that the rapist and the rape, quote, victim actually had a contract or an agreement before they came into this lifetime, or maybe the roles were reversed in a previous life. And to experience that, or to see what it is like on the other side of that situation, that they agreed, okay, well, this is, you know, what happened in, you know, this time period, and so in the next incarnation we'll agree to explore it a different way, and then I will understand what you went through. Does that resonate with you, or is that something that you explore in any of your books or any of the things that you practice?
It's entirely possible.
We actually have contracts, yeah? Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's entirely possible,
that. And again, that's a hard one for a lot of people to even grasp, because they think, well, this was just an absolute stranger. How would I have made a contract with them? But they don't maybe understand that this was something that was huge, pivotal in their life, that, like you said, that all of a sudden then they become active and they go out to help other people. And if it wasn't for that instrumental moment, that time in their life, that they would have not had that situation, their life would have been totally different and would not have been able to use that in a way to assist others.
And because I believe in reincarnation, I believe that we have been with these people before. It's not like the first time we ever met them. And that,
exactly.
And that it could be that sometime in the past that we had known them, and it could be that we created this contract between lives. You know, all of these things can be possible. The thing about karma, though, the thing about karma means action, actually. That word karma means action.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about karma is that it is unfathomable. It's very difficult to know exactly why something happens. But you can be sure that what is happening is something that you asked for subconsciously sometime in your past. It's quite easy to understand it if you think about it this way. Okay, if you stand in front of the mirror and you keep saying over and over again, oh, I'm so fat, 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 and you just continue to look at yourself in the mirror and say that, then God, you know, God is always perfectly happy to fulfill every desire that we have, every subconscious desire that we have, everything that we really believe about ourselves. God is like the wish-fulfilling tree who fulfills all of our subconscious beliefs and desires. So if we stand in the front of the mirror and keep saying that, then God says, okay, I can do that. You want to be fat? Great. Or if we stand in front of the mirror and we say, oh, I'm so poor, I'm so poor, I'm so poor, I'm so poor, then God will say, oh, yeah, okay, I can do that. You want to be poor? Here, you'll be poor. So whatever it is that we keep focusing on, whatever we focus on grows stronger in our life. So whatever it is that we keep thinking, whatever it is we keep believing, that is exactly what we have. So that's why it's very difficult for people to get out of situations that they've been in the past. For example, if a person grows up really in a very impoverished situation, then they have to really work hard, not only physically, but also mentally, to transform their belief of poverty into a belief in being wealthy. Because being wealthy is a whole different mindset than being poor. And if you've been raised in a really poor environment and your family is like that and everybody you know is like that, then to get yourself out of that, I mean, it's a really big achievement. because you have not only changed your physical circumstance, you've changed the whole way that you think about yourself. You've changed your whole identity.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Again, it is extraordinary to grasp all of this, especially for people who are just coming into this information. I would like to just do a little bragging on you again. This evening we have Dr. Shumsky with us, and you've done over 400 speaking engagements and media appearances since your first book was published, including Woman's World Magazine, Cosmopolitan. You've been in GQ and national television and radio. And again, we're thrilled to have you here on Flying Higher on BBS Radio Late Night. And you are also obviously doing workshops and facilitation, seminars, spiritual retreats. I saw some of your emails lately where you've got some retreats going on with Sean David Morton, which sounds very exciting. I just love his passion and his drive and his connections and even his sources of stuff. Is that still available, and how can we find out more about how to contact you for our listeners?
That's
your
great
website.
Yeah, I have a website, and we have the Sean David Morton Retreat, which is at MountShastaRetreat.com. That's MountShastaRetreat.com. And then I have another retreat happening in the Tetons, and that's in Wyoming near Yellowstone Park in the Tetons, the Teton National Park. And that will be TetonsRetreat.com. And you can find all of that at my website, which is drsusan.org, DrSusan, drsusan.org. And there you also can find all my books, including my latest book, which is Miracle Prayer. And Miracle Prayer goes into the subject we're speaking about tonight, the law of attraction and how you can manifest your dreams and desires.
Okay, thank you so much, Susan, for that. We are accepting callers tonight. If you'd like to call in here to BBS Radio Late Night, Susan will be glad to accept any calls and answer any questions that you may have. Regarding your latest book, Miracle Prayer, can you elaborate a little bit about that? Because, again, we're getting a lot of this information about manifesting and power of intention. What is Miracle Prayer about?
Miracle Prayer is about creating your own destiny and your own reality through the power of intention. And it gives you 9 steps to creating prayers that get results. Now, this method that's used in Miracle Prayer is based upon a time-honored tradition, which is the tradition of New Thought. And New Thought is something that is actually quite old thought.
It's
not really
okay.
New. And it is something that has been known for millennia, but it was revived in the 1800s by such luminaries as Phineas Quimby, Mary Baker Eddy, who's the founder of Christian Science, Emma Curtis Hopkins, who is the founder of, she was actually the teacher who taught all the people that founded the New Thought churches. She was a teacher of Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, who founded the Unity Church. She was a teacher of Ernest Holmes, who founded the Religious Science Church. So Miracle Prayer is based upon New Thought teachings and based upon science of mind and religious science, mostly. And what it is, it's a method of prayer or method of using intention to create results that really get results. And it's been used by millions of people worldwide. It's not something that I just suddenly, made up and something new or something. It's something that has really worked in the life of millions of people. It's a proven method. And this is a very simple 9-step method for manifesting what it is you want to manifest, not by begging and pleading with God, but by affirming. It's called affirmative prayer. Some people call it affirmative prayer. Some people call it prayer treatment. The reason they call it prayer treatment is because you are treating or healing your mind. What you're doing is you have a condition in your life and you want to change that condition. So in order to change the condition in your life, as we've been talking about, you need to change the way you think about it. You have to change your thoughts. Because the only way you can ever affect true change in your life is if you change your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. Because like I said before, that's what creates our reality. It's what creates our destiny. So we need to create new thoughts, new words, and new deeds. So by the simple method of affirmation, simply by stating what it is you want and then convincing your mind, treating or healing, that's why they call it treatment, because you treat or heal your mind and you change your mind. So it is said, you know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you are transforming your mind, and when you transform your mind, then you transform your destiny. So that's the simple philosophy behind what we call scientific prayer.
Well, it's interesting that I'm not the only one that might be a little confused on this, but we were talking earlier about the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. When we're actually going through the scientific prayer, is the subconscious mind picking this up? Since it seems to be the one sort of attracting into our lives the things that we want and maybe the things that we don't want.
Exactly.
Is it getting to that level?
Yes, exactly, because it's done in a meditative kind of state. When we do the scientific prayer, we go into a kind of meditative state where we're able to actually tap into the subconscious mind, and we are shown by our higher self the things that need healing. And one of the steps of what I call scientific prayer, the nine-step method, is a healing step. The nine steps, I'll go through them quickly. The nine steps are the goal, the request or goal, and then the recognition or glorification, in which we recognize that God is the source of our good, and then the rapport or unification, where we unite with God, and then the claim or resolution, where we affirm or claim the thing that we want to happen, and then the renewal or healing. Now, that is the place in which we convince ourselves, in which we change our mind. That's the place where we say, be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, because you're tapping into the subconscious mind, seeing, maybe for the first time, the deep patterns that have prevented you from knowing the truth that sets you free. Then you come to what we call the next step, which is realization or conviction. And then during that step, we are accepting this new goal that we want to achieve. And then the next step is the reward or gratitude, where we give thanks in advance. You know, we just assume that our goal is going to be achieved, so we give thanks for it. And then we do the most important step of the entire process, which is the release or letting go, where we let go of it and give it over to God, because we know that when we let go of something, that's when we really get it. And then we go into the last step, which is repose or silence. We go into the state of deep silence, deep relaxation. So it's a kind of a prayer meditation, you could say, a prayer / meditation, where we are really getting in touch with deep parts of ourself as we pray. And we can do this for ourselves, and we can also pray for other people. And it really works. I mean, it's worked since at least the middle of the 1800s. And there have been millions of people that have used this similar method.
Yes, no, so that's definitely been shown in many, many ways. I like some of the stuff that Deepak Chopra has shown recently with the use of computers and studying the lens of the eye and how that affects people literally in another state or another country instantaneously. And that can be put into very powerful use. And it's nice to see that in many ways science is in fact proving a lot of the spiritual stuff that we've known for a long, long time. And I think this also affirms, was it Einstein or someone who came up with a saying that the definition of insanity is to do the same thing but expecting the different results? You know, there has to be a shift there somewhere.
Right.
So this again, it sort of goes back to that. And even people like yourself have been teaching this for, like I said, for decades, and even someone more mainstream like Tony Robbins says that, you know, your decisions create your destiny. So these are things that certainly should be embraced by everybody. How do we get this message, though, Susan? And this is one that I always perplexed with. when it comes to The Secret, The Law of Attraction, and how all these things are packaged, and Esther and the Abraham Hicks material, a lot of this material that's been around for a long, long time, to people in third world countries that maybe don't even know how to read. They don't have these messages. They don't have CDs and DVD players or books or libraries or any place to go to get this information. Is it just tough luck? You're just on the wrong side of the world? Or, I mean, how does this play out? What's our responsibility in this? Should we show them this, teach them this? I don't know what to do with it. I feel some kind of responsibility in sharing this information.
Well, that's wonderful that you feel that responsibility, and that's probably why you have a radio show, because you want to reach a broader audience. It's important for us to follow our inner guidance. The main thing that I teach is something called Divine Revelation. My first book is called Divine Revelation, and that's about learning how to listen to the still, small voice of God within, trusting and following that guidance and doing what you're told, doing what you're guided to do. In other words, even if you're afraid, even if you don't think you can do it, still taking that big leap of faith and going out and doing what you're guided to do. So if a person follows their inner guidance, if they follow their heart and they're guided to go and teach these principles to a third world country, or if they're guided to go and teach them to someplace on the other side of the world, then by all means, they must follow that guidance and trust that what they're doing is exactly what they need to do, that they're in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. And following inner guidance, to my mind, is the most important thing we can do, because when you do that, you are aligning yourself with God. You're doing God's work. You're living a magical, mystical life. You're living a life worth living. You're living the divine life. And when you live that life, you will be supported. It doesn't matter if you are young, if you're old, if you're rich or you're poor. The important thing is to just follow your guidance. And you might be surprised at what you're guided to do. But if you really have the faith and you trust that guidance and you just follow it and go ahead with it, the results are phenomenal.
Well, I can certainly attest to that. I feel like that's what I've been doing the last 3 years of my life. And having a radio show is certainly part of that, because I'm not one who has been comfortable with public speaking and that. But I just feel so drawn to this information and feel so compelled to share it that I have stepped out of my comfort zone and have trusted my intuition and my guidance to do this and to, you know, put forth whatever it is that I can to help others. And I know, Gina, that you are certainly dedicated to what you're doing by the life that you live as well.
Yeah. It's really important that we do that, even if we do have to step out of our comfort zone. And I really applaud you for doing something that you step out of your comfort zone and you really go and just go for it, because that's what makes life worthwhile. It really is.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that if you are aware of it or not, but when I saw you at the Celebration of Oneness over in Pasadena, I was really amazed at your dedication to your calling. When I watched you break down your booth after being there over the weekend and talking to people, talking to me, people that don't know as much as you do and certainly haven't had the experience and the research and the connections, the magnificent people that you've been led to, you know, on your path. You know, what keeps you going each week? Correct me if I'm wrong, but don't you live in an RV and you drive to each of these shows and you set up your booth and you do your talks and your lectures and then you move on to the next place? I mean, your dedication is extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love it. I mean, it's not like a hardship. It's really fun. I have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy the motorhome. I know there's a lot of people who are like envious of somebody who lives in the motorhome, and they say, oh, that's so cool, I wish I could do that, you know. But the thing is, it's really fun, and I really enjoy the kind of freedom and the life on the road kind of thing. And I know people romanticize that a little too much, because it's really not all it's cracked up to be, but to me it's not a hardship, it's not difficult, it's just a kind of a fun adventure. I'm always on an adventure, never know what's going to happen at the next corner, you know. So I enjoy it.
Oh, I know. It's absolutely true. I certainly can can relate to that. Although mine was on the ground, I was a flight attendant for 28 years, so my life was sort of an adventure. But I didn't have any books or anything. I guess I just had my own personal stories and my own personal message to share with people. But yes, it is an adventure and it is exciting. And again, I am thrilled to have you with us here this evening. I think I'll just take a quick little break here and give us give our listeners some phone numbers if they're interested in calling. This evening, we have on Flying Higher, Dr. Susan Chomsky, and she'll be glad to take your calls. You can call in on the toll-free line here in the United States at 1-877-270-8714. Again, this is on the screens that you can see at BBS Radio on the website. And there is a brand new phone number in Canada that's toll-free. You can call in on 888-877-9234. So we invite you to call in this evening if you have any questions for Dr. Susan Chomsky. We'd certainly be glad to entertain those. Susan, do you have anything more that you want to add to karma? You mentioned earlier that basically it means action to you, because there's certainly a lot of people with definitions of karma, or maybe a lot of misunderstandings about karma. Can you elaborate a little bit more about that?
I'm glad you asked that question, Gina, because most of the people in the world, when they hear the word karma, it evokes the idea that you do something in one life, and then in the next life, something is done to you. The exact same thing is done to you by the exact same people who you did it to in the past life. That is completely not true. It's totally erroneous. And in fact, many people in India, probably most people in India, believe in that definition of karma, and I just don't even buy it at all. The word karma means action. It doesn't mean action-reaction. It doesn't mean payback. It doesn't mean that there's a karmic lord in the sky who's keeping track of all your actions and is going to punish you in the future. There's nothing like that. The fact is that karma is action. It means that we create our own reality. We create our own destiny through our actions, and actions include thoughts, words, and deeds. So when we act, when we think a thought, when we say something, when we do something, we're creating a vibration in the atmosphere. That vibration goes out from our energy field, goes out to everyone and everything in the universe. It doesn't stop with the edge of our energy field. It keeps going and going and going, just like the Energizer Bunny. It goes all the way to the edge of the universe. And if it's a really positive vibration, then it will attract a positive response. So if we are loving, truly loving, I don't mean just plastering a smile on your face and pretending to be loving. I'm talking about loving in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. If we are loving, then we will attract loving experiences. If we are scattered, if we're upset, if we're negative, if we're rough, if we have a jaggedy, jiggedy energy field, and if we are doing things, saying things, and thinking things that are violent, of in a violent nature, then we will attract violence. Very simple. Like attracts like. The law of attraction. So whatever it is that we think, whatever it is we say, whatever it is we do, comes back to us in the form of energy. Okay? It's not that there's some big book in the sky and somebody's keeping track of our actions or something like that. It's just that it's a principle. It's a law of the universe that like attracts like. So magnetic attraction, we will attract to ourselves violence if we are violent. We will attract to ourselves peace if we are peaceful. And that is the reason why we will never have world peace until individuals are peaceful. We will have world peace when we have enough people in the world who have peaceful thoughts, peaceful words, and peaceful actions. When we have a great number of people who are violent in their thoughts, words, and deeds, we will continue to have wars. So it's really a very simple principle, and you know, it's much more simple than people make it out to be, because people think that there are these karmic judges and karmic courts and karmic lords, and that they're up there in the sky with a big book and they're keeping track of everybody. No one's keeping track of anything. You're only keeping track of yourself. And if you have a lot of guilt, then you will attract negative experiences coming to you because you'll believe that you deserve to be punished. You'll punish yourself. You are your own judge. You're your own jury. You're your own punishment. You're your own sheriff. You're it. I mean, there's no one else at home but you. You're the one who's creating it all.
Yeah, I had to chuckle there because that's those are some of the lines that I used in my book explaining some of this about the afterlife and what people expect, especially if they think they're going to hell. If you think you're going to hell, then that's what you'll get. You'll create whatever it is that you think you're supposed to have. And
Was a movie about that, What Dreams May Come, which was kind of interesting because the premise of that movie is that you create whatever it is you believe. People created a kind of hell for themselves, or they created this or that for themselves in the afterlife because that's what they believed. But the fact is that almost everybody goes into the divine light after death, and just, you know, they just go into the light because they believe in God, so they go into the light. From almost everyone.
Well, this secret, this whole concept, this law of attraction that's been packaged so brightly in a way, I guess, that really has brought a lot of people to it. And maybe it's just the time, maybe it's just the consciousness that we're at this point, that people are looking for this to maybe bring about a better understanding of why their lives are the way they are. But I get a little frustrated and a little flustered when people are looking at short-term results, like getting the front parking space at the mall or manifesting a new car or, you know, maybe a bigger house, things like that. With everything that's going on the planet, Susan, I know you're more than aware than most about things that are going on higher levels, about dimensional shifts, about 2012, and all the things that you hear when you go to these events, like the expos and things. What do you see as the bigger picture and the bigger reason for people to learn about the law of attraction now at this point in our consciousness? Is it for world peace? Is it going to be for feeding the hungry on the planet? I mean, what do you see as the bigger picture and the bigger reason for this coming in at this time?
I'm really glad you brought this up because I believe that a lot of people are praying backward. And what I mean by praying backward means they're praying amiss. And to pray amiss means to just make a big list of everything you want to manifest and then manifest it. And by the way, you can do that. You can manifest anything you want. If you think long and hard about it enough and you pray about it enough and you do enough affirmations about it, it will definitely happen for you. But the question is that of highest wisdom for you to have, that thing that you've prayed for? You know, maybe you pray long and hard enough and you get a Mercedes-Benz, let's say. But maybe the best thing for you was the Harley motorcycle. Maybe God would much prefer you to follow that divine will and to get the Harley motorcycle rather than the Mercedes-Benz. I mean, that's a totally mundane example, but it is a concrete example that people can maybe understand. The fact is that it's really important for us to first, okay, somebody a long time ago said, first seek ye first the kingdom of God and then all else will be added unto you. So the important thing is to first find out what is highest wisdom for you to do. In other words, get in touch with your inner guidance. That's the reason why I teach divine revelation, which is about getting in touch with your inner guidance. If you get in touch with your inner guidance first and ask questions, ask your higher self, what is wise for me to do at this time? Is it wise for me to take this job? Is it wise for me to quit this job? Is it highest wisdom for me to get into this relationship? Is it highest wisdom for me to get out of this relationship? Is it highest wisdom for me to go and do this charitable work here? Or is it wise for me to do some other work here? Is it wise for me to do some creative work? Whatever it is your higher self guides you to do, that is what is highest wisdom for you. Now, when you pray frontwards instead of backwards, then what you're doing is you're finding out first, what is highest wisdom for me to manifest? And then you pray to manifest that thing.
Well, that's interesting. Very interesting. Praying
very
backwards.
Important. Mm-hmm. Very important.
Well, I can certainly
see
that.
That's what you were talking about.
Yes, and I feel like in some ways that maybe this information is coming about in the bigger way that it has for some reason. Again, maybe it's just the timing, maybe it's just our consciousness and our level that we're at, that, you know, we'll have an opportunity to practice this manifesting for a while in the law of intention, but realize that for those who just want to bring forth things in a material way, that they'll see that their happiness maybe has not changed. Maybe that other aspects of their life hasn't changed. And maybe that they'll see it is for something bigger. But my personal belief is that it is, as we get ready to graduate to the next level, to move forward, that we will bring forth the new world, the new reality that we all want. And that's ultimately the goal of manifestation. I do like that little scene that they had in that movie where the guy created that elephant in his living room, that we're not really ready to be able to instantly manifest, because we're really not in control of our thoughts. And mm-hmm. so much of what's around us, and even our upbringing, you know, is mothers. I'm, you know, a mother of a 17-year-old, and, you know, you try to caution them about certain things, but then you don't want to put them in fear, because then you don't want them to attract these things, you know. And mm-hmm. so it's sort of a balancing act sometimes, I think, as a parent especially, to make your kids aware of what's going on in the world, make them aware of what's going on. You know, in my particular situation, she just started driving, and she's an attractive young girl, to make them aware of what's in the world, but not put them in fear. Do you have any advice for people, you know, who are parents or who are going through that could,
my,
you know,
advice always is, my advice always is to follow inner guidance at every stage of your life, is to ask your in-house counselor, which is your own higher self, for guidance about everything and anything in your life. Ask and it shall be given unto you means ask for whatever it is that you need help with. And you always have that loving presence within you, your higher self, God within you, that will guide you, that will show you the way in the most opportune, highest wisdom for you. And no matter what situation it is, whether it's a personal situation or whether it's a world situation, follow mm-hmm. your guidance. And I do agree that the world is shifting and that there is a greater light coming onto this planet, and that's the reason why the law of attraction is becoming a more popular idea, you know, along with a lot of other wonderful new age kind of ideas that are getting out into the public. And I'm very happy that that's happening, and I'm very grateful for it, because I've been working at this for 40 years. I feel like I've, you know, been creating a road through a very thick jungle with slicing my way through the jungle.
I
what it's like to be a pioneer on and dealing with all the unbelievable ignorance around the world, you know, for so long. And so I'm just grateful, oh, wow, somebody actually got this one concept out. It's like metaphysics 101. Thank you, God.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, maybe you, in fact, manifested that for everybody on a global way. It'd be nice to see. Yeah, it'd be nice for us to be able to really see some way to verify it. How can we test whether or not our intuition is real, or if it's just wishful thinking, or if it's,
oh, excellent,
you know, wanting what other people think that we should want.
Mm-hmm.
How do
That's
we know?
Really important, very important question. And in my book, Divine Revelation, and in also in my book, Exploring Meditation, I have the 10 tests of spiritual discernment, 10 ways that you can tell the difference between the true voice of spirit and other voices in your mind, how to test whether the words that you're getting, the feelings you're getting, the visions you're getting, whatever it is you're getting from your higher self, how to test to make sure those are correct, you know, that it's not just your wishful thinking. It's not some other voice in your head. It's not some entity from the astral plane trying to mislead you. You know, these are all things that it's really important to be aware of, and that's why I teach what I teach. I mean, I teach something called becoming spiritually street smart, which is spiritually street smart means, you know, we know how to handle ourselves when we're out on the street. We know how to handle ourselves in public. But sometimes when we're going into the inner world, the inner planes, we're not so street smart. We don't know what to do. You know, people who especially who are new to this and the new age and all that, and they have an experience, oh, it's like a new toy. Oh, wow, you know, look at what I can do, yippee. And the fact is that they don't know what they're doing, and they can get into a lot of trouble. So it's important that we have a roadmap to our inner life, that we know what we're doing, and that we don't get into fall into the pitfalls that are, you know, part of the path. There are pitfalls on the path. So we want to take the royal road, the high road, and not, you know, fall into the ditch. So it's important for us to practice what I call safe spirituality, practice some safe spirituality. And, you know, I think we need to discern, to have some spiritual discernment. And it can be very tricky because there's a lot of glamour out there. Glamorous things are going on. There's a lot of glamorous people out there who will lead us astray. I say, you know, keep it simple and follow your own meditation, your own inner guidance, you know, trust yourself and don't follow after these very sparkling looking gurus and all of that. I mean, all that glitters is not God. You have to be discerning.
That is absolutely true. And I have a group here in California, in Huntington Beach, that I lead, and I was trying to, at each meeting I always tell them to, you know, do their own research, look into the information themselves, and to understand even with ancient wisdom and things that we uncover or things that we learn about, that history is not all that it is, that history, according to Voltaire, history is a lie that's commonly agreed upon. And I like the fact that history is his story. It's our version. And the concept that I love to embrace is the one with the blind men and the elephant. We're all feeling a different part of reality, of consciousness, of the Creator. And what may seem real and feels right and smells right and looks right to us is a description of what we see our, the world is, and then what somebody else is, they've got the other end of it, and they're seeing something totally different. But the great master who said, believe nothing, and no matter where you read it or who said it, no matter if I have said it, unless it agrees with your own reason and your own common sense. That was from Buddha. I think that is so profound. It seems so right on, especially even though here we are on internet radio, which is a wonderful tool, but it can also be very misleading. And just like anything that's in this dimension, we have the duality of the light and the dark. It's like there are some really great things, but then there's those who tend to use it for a different reason and can cause a lot of misinformation. And as you were saying, not all that glitters is God, so... Again, we have to tap into our essence and to the divinity within us, and be it your higher self, your intuition, and connect with that to really discern and figure out where we're going in all of this. Now, Susan, one thing that I like to ask, and this is the thing that I always find perplexing in these conversations, is I look at my astrology and I look at my numerology. I get the little thing sent through the email each day, and I read it, and it is like, oh, my God. And sometimes, you know, I'm reading it a day late or maybe even 2 days late, and that's exactly how my life played out that day. Mm-hmm. So how does that come into play when we're talking about law of attraction and that what we're thinking is what we're bringing in? Is this my programming? Is this the script that I have written for myself? How do the planetary influences play into this?
Okay, that's a really excellent question. The fact is that, okay, so at the moment that you're born, you take your first breath. And at the time you take your first breath, there's a certain planetary grid going on in the sky. The planets are in a certain place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who created the first breath? Who is it that first decided when that first breath would be taken? Well, guess what? You're the one that decided it. In fact, before you were ever born, you decided exactly the moment when you would be born, what your parents would be, which womb you'd go into, what economic situation you would be in, what circumstances you would grow up in. You decide that all before you take birth. Now, I'm not saying that you decide every single detail of your life before you take birth, but you definitely decide your parents and the circumstances under which you're going to be born and your time of birth. So those decisions are based upon your past beliefs. Remember what I said in the beginning, it is done unto you according to your belief. So according to your belief, so be it done unto you. Whatever it is you believe is going to happen is exactly what will happen. And if you have a certain set of beliefs that we call it the mental law, your mental law under which you operate, you have certain statutes of your mental law, and you operate under those statutes. You created them. Nobody else did. And the statutes of your mental law can easily be read. It's called the horoscope, all right? Because the setup of the planets in the sky perfectly reflect your beliefs, perfectly reflect what it is that you believed at the moment that you took your first breath. So, you know, you created those beliefs, and from your past life, I totally believe in reincarnation, as I said before, and we have certain beliefs. We bring those beliefs in with us, and a really good astrologer can read those beliefs. They can look at your horoscope. They can look at your chart, and they can say, oh, you believe this, you believe this, you believe this, you believe this. And if you continue to believe those same things for the rest of your life, then this is exactly what will happen to you. However, they forget the fact that, yeah, you can change those beliefs. And if you change your beliefs, then you change your reality. You can change your horoscope. You are not subject to those beliefs. You are not subject to your horoscope. You are only subject to what you create. And you can create anything. That's the reason why I mentioned the idea that if a person is really poor when they're growing up, and if they change that and they become wealthy, then they've really done something amazing because they have changed their set of beliefs. They have changed the way that they look at reality, the way that they look at their life. And, you know, I really applaud somebody who is able to make a big change in their life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly agree with that. But some days it does feel like it's like I am not in control of this. But ultimately, as you have pointed out, I am, consciously or subconsciously or from on the other side of the veil before I got here. Let me do a little station break if you're okay with that, Susan. Or This is Flying Higher on BBS Radio Late Night. And my name is Gina E. Jones. I'm the founder of Seeing the Light Productions and author of Flying Between Heaven and Earth, which you can order at www.flyingbetweenheavenandearth.com, and invite you to get that book. I've been getting wonderful reviews on that and excited about bringing that forward, and also working on the screenplay for the movie version of that as well, since I'm out here in California. Wonderful connections, and the universe is just lining that up perfectly for that to take off, to use some more airline terms. Sorry, everybody. Some habits are hard to break. But anyway, I do invite you to join me each Sunday as we bring on special guests, just like Susan Shumsky this evening, as we share various ways to lighten up and to raise the vibration of everyone individually and collectively as we look forward to the shifts that are occurring here on this dimension. Susan, I don't know if you got a chance to see the news today, but I was reading something on Yahoo News where they have now seen dolphins at the North Pole.
At the North Pole.
Yes, and robins and I believe finches. The people who actually live on the ice there have never seen it, anything. They don't even have words to describe it. But yes, there's been some gentleman who has gone up there frequently, who's reporting back that the ice is melting. These villagers are actually losing a lot of their hunters through the ice, and they've actually seen dolphins up there. So, shift is happening, whether or not we're ready for it. It is happening. So
yes.
Again, I think that your information is extraordinary. I think it's very timely. Not only the information regarding the law of attraction, but I think that the thing that you hit on a long, long time ago is about meditation and about going within, because I think in the days ahead, and again, this is just my understanding, but things are going to be happening so fast We're not going to have time to research it. We're not going to have time to look for a master or a guru, that we really are going to have to go inward to seek the answers to guide us on our path in the days ahead.
I agree.
I don't know if you see that, but I really feel like that's a very, very powerful tool, but I think that's really the way, personally, is a lot of what you've been writing about over these decades.
Well, meditation, I believe, is the panacea of all ills. And I know that sounds like a really blanket statement, but I really believe that it's true. I believe that through meditation, we can heal ourselves, we can heal other people, we can do extraordinary things through meditation. And I believe that everyone really needs to learn how to meditate and to practice it, because it calms the mind, calms the body, it brings greater health, greater well-being. It also gives us inner guidance if we're willing to listen to that inner voice and follow our inner guidance. You know, it can really transform our life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with that. Again, this is Dr. Susan Shumsky that's with us tonight. And if you would like to contact Susan, she has several events coming up here in the next few months, and I'm sure you have events all throughout the year and extraordinary opportunities to learn more. You can go to www.drsusan.org, and you can contact her there and get more information about her books, which you can order, and also upcoming events. You mentioned Mount Shasta. You'll be back here for that. Any other events here in California, Susan, that you have coming up?
Well, mainly the Mount Shasta retreat, which is in September. We're doing one with Sean David Morton, September 7th to the 10th, and then I'm doing one September 10th to the 13th, 2007, and that will be an amazing experience, because Mount Shasta is a really incredible spiritual vortex. It's one of the most powerful spiritual vortexes on the planet, and we're going to have a great time up there. It's going to be really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm also
mm-hmm.
doing the Tetons retreat, and there's one on Labor Day weekend. That's August 31st to September 3rd. And we have also a teacher training course coming up Teacher training course will be on August 20th to the 27th will be phase one, and then 27th to September 3rd will be phase two teacher training. So those, I'm really looking forward to those events. And I have other events, you know, that are happening in between then. It's all on my website at drsusan.org. You can click on the link that goes to the itinerary and see where I'm going to be. And,
okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping to be able to join you and Sean David on one of those events, because that would be certainly extraordinary having you two together in the same place. That will definitely take everybody to higher dimensions with the two of you together. It's quite exciting. Maybe you can explain a little bit more, because I'm just thinking back on some of our conversation here, Susan. What is the difference for some people, again, and even for myself in putting this together, what is the difference between prayer and meditation? What exactly distinguishes one from the other?
Okay, well, prayer is where we are actually setting an intention and saying that intention, changing a condition.
Mm-hmm.
At least prayer in the way that we do it, which is called prayer treatment. Even if you're just doing a prayer of thanksgiving or a prayer of praise, or you know, there's a lot of different prayers that you can do that are not necessarily connected to a specific material goal that you want to manifest. But no matter what the goal is, it is a goal, and you are praying to achieve that goal. Meditation is a way to get in touch with your higher self. It is a way to get quiet and still, to still your mind, inner quietude, and to get in touch with the divine presence. Now, if prayer includes meditation in it, then it is going to be a more effective kind of prayer. In other words, if you really connect with God when you're in your prayer, then you're going to have a more effective prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So you can mix the two together, but meditation literally would mean connecting to God, having a mystical experience, in other words. Being in that holy presence, in the presence of God or in the presence of the what we call the Absolute or Satchitananda or Samadhi and Nirvana, Satori, whatever you want to call it. That place of perfect peace within, the place of deep relaxation, deep peace, oneness and wholeness, unbounded awareness, the place that is perfection within.
this is really great because this is exactly the place that I'm at and certainly need to put into practice. Is there a better time to do this as far as the day, the time of the day, or is it strictly individual as far as doing meditation to get quiet?
I think you obviously
have a lot of experience in this.
Yes, I have. And I think that the important thing is to fit it into your schedule. So if the only time that you have in your schedule is late at night, then by all means do it late at night. But the ideal time to do it is early in the morning because that's when the mind is fresh. That's when the laws of nature are there supporting that type of activity. So early in the morning or when you first wake up, whenever that is, let's say if a person works all night, then they're not going to get up really early in the morning. But whenever you wake up, when you first wake up, that's the best time to meditate and when you're fresh. But it's good to do it at a regular time if you can, or to get into a habit of doing it regularly is a good idea.
Yes. That's something that I need to put on the schedule and put on my outlook so I can work on that because, I truly feel like that is going to be the saving grace for a lot of people to understand the things and the events that are going on all aspects of our lives.
Yeah, I mean, it's really important.
Susan, you have been doing this for so long. I'm not trying to reflect anything except, I think back on the things that I wasn't doing during this time when you have been learning this and living this extraordinary life, living in ashrams. And what have you manifested in your life? What miracles have you been able to create for yourself that you can maybe share with us and share with me, you know, to show that, in fact, this really works and how to use this in our lives daily to bring forth what we need?
Yeah, I mean, I got my first book published by Simon & Schuster, which is an unheard-of thing. You don't have a new thought, new age author who has never had a book published, who knows nothing about writing, who never studied writing in school, who never actually went to college to learn writing, who went to art school, getting the first book published by Simon & Schuster and then continued to have it republished by Simon & Schuster since 1996, that's what, 11 years, now in its 10th printing, that just doesn't happen. I mean, that is really a miracle. If you know anything about publishing, you know that
I'm learning about that now. I'm certainly learning about that.
That's a miracle.
That is, indeed. We'll have to talk further about that later when we're off the air. so what else have you been able to manifest?
That completely happened by listening to the still small voice of God within. And the thing is that, you know, I had no money, and I just went out, and my inner guidance told me just go out on the road and start, you know, speaking, doing public speaking and going everywhere, and I had absolutely zero money. And just by doing it, just by taking a leap of faith, just going out on the highway and just going everywhere, and just money would come in just out of nowhere, seemingly. And continue to be able to support myself that way. I mean, just in a very adventurous way. And I mean, I haven't manifested the $1 million mansion or anything like that because that's not what I'm guided to do.
Right.
I follow my guidance. I follow my inner guidance, and I'm not even guided to buy property. That's not what I'm guided to do. Although I have owned property in the past when I was guided to do it a long time ago. But I'm guided to live in a motorhome, and so that's what I manifest. I manifest what my inner guidance tells me. I do my best to be obedient to spirit, and by the way, it's really challenging to do that. It's not easy.
Right.
It's not an easy way to live. And the reason it's not easy is because Spirit will guide you to do things that are very challenging, because Spirit wants you to grow and expand and step out of your comfort zone, step out of your ego box, and really do that which is of highest good and highest wisdom for your soul growth, for your expansion, for your God consciousness and God realization. You know, God is not interested in all these material things. They're interested in having you realize your full potential, realize your higher self, and really become all that you can be. Now, if the million-dollar mansion is part of that, then you'll have it. There's no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you follow your guidance, you'll get it.
Right.
But if that's not part of your true plan and purpose for your life, your that which is of highest good and highest wisdom for you, it's no way. You know, it just won't happen. Unless you really disobey your guidance.
Well, I certainly can attest to that throughout the last, I would say, 10, 15 years, when I've trusted that inner guidance, if you will. It to me is like sometimes the most scary, the most harrowing events of my life. And yet when they're sort of over and I can sit back and look at it, I'm thinking that was the most exhilarating, exciting time of my life. And yes, there is no comfort zone. There is no safety net. And some days I do feel like I'm walking that tight wire, you know, just, and not even seeing where the wire is. It's like it appears like in Indiana Jones. It's sort of that bridge over this huge ravine appears as I take each step, and it's just an extraordinary walk of faith. One that I would guess to say most people would never even take. They couldn't even fathom. In some ways, and I'm not certainly bragging on myself, because we all do what we're, you know, what we've agreed to do and what we're capable of doing. Mm-hmm. But see, I look at you and I say, wow. But I'm sure there are people who look at me and go, wow, and there are other people that look at them and go, wow. So we're all doing what we are, what we've signed up to do. And yes, it's really extraordinary. Well, Susan, I have truly enjoyed having you on the show this evening. Is there anything else that we haven't touched on that you'd like to share with our listeners? Because I really do like for people to feel like that they have connected with us, not just about the books and just about, you know, our seminars and what we're talking about, but really feel like they know who we are as a soul and that they've really connected or maybe heard something in our heart that will inspire them to move forward in the days ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, my heart says that the most important thing for everyone to realize is that they're not alone, that God is with them now and always, and that if they simply take some deep breaths and turn within and ask, that they will receive the answer that they've been seeking, that they will receive the comfort, the love, the joy, the peace in their heart that they've been seeking. And we have all been seeking for that. Everyone, the most burning thing within their heart is to come home to that place of peace, which is God within. And we've all been seeking that for lifetimes. And it is so close at hand. All we have to do is just take some deep breaths, go within, get centered, balanced, and relaxed within ourselves, and then simply ask. Ask a question, ask for guidance, ask for inspiration. Ask and it shall be given unto you. It's so very simple. Just by asking, you will receive the answer to your question. By asking, you'll receive your heart's desire. By asking, you'll discover your true plan and purpose for your life. By asking, you will fulfill your destiny. So I believe that everyone has that beautiful place of peace within that we can get in touch with and tap into, and that we can expand our consciousness and realize God within. And that is what I've dedicated my life to, is to help everyone to have that sublime experience of God realization. And I invite every one of you to step on that path, and it is the royal highway to glory, the royal highway to joy, enlightenment, peace, and fulfillment. And so I invite everyone to take that step and Just imagine if we had a world in which everyone listened to the still small voice of God within and followed and trusted their guidance. What kind of world would we have? We would have heaven on earth. And that is what my higher self wants me to help people to create, and that is heaven on earth. And I think that many of us have been sent here to do that on this planet. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of those people who was sent here to help people to realize God.
Well, I certainly can attest to that, Susan. I have seen you at these expos and how you stand there hour after hour, day after day, you know, sharing your information and sharing the messages and educating people and enlightening them and helping to waken them up to who they are and why they're here and to all the opportunities that are given to them through Spirit. And I commend you, and I'm honored to call you a friend, and I thank you so much for being on the show this evening and sharing your time with us again, and look forward to seeing you here in Southern California again.
Thank you. It's my pleasure and honor to be here. So I've enjoyed it very much, Gina. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you still with us, you're listening to Dr. Susan Shumsky. She is here on Flying Higher on BBS Radio Late Night. You can contact her at www.drsusan.org, drsusan.org. You can also reach her at 1-866-DIVINE and then the number 8, 1-866-DIVINE-8. And her email, you can reach Susan at divinerev@aol.com. All of this information is available on the Flying Higher website, and that's www.flying-higher.com. And we will have Susan's information on our program on the upcoming guests for the next few days, and then it'll be on the previous shows. So that contact information will be available. And if you have anyone who wants to listen in, we'll have the archives up in the next day or two so you can listen to the show again or share this wonderful information with friends and family in the next few days, again on the BBS Radio Late Night Archives under Flying Higher. And if I can go on just a little bit longer, I want to invite you to join us next Sunday, April 22nd. I will have Andy Mack and Jag Stewart with us as they're blazing a new trail on a new frontier of human conscious evolution. They are co-creative partners behind the Mayan Calendar Code, which is something I am very excited and passionate about as part of my book, Flying Between Heaven and Earth. And Andy Mack and Jag will be joining us and as they share their investigation into the Mayan calendar and their journey as they have uncovered a lot of wonderful insights. And they're going to be sharing that with us. And I invite you to go to their website. And again, their information is available on flying-higher.com. Following them, the following Sunday on April 29th, I'll have Robert Lee Camp, who will be bringing forward the information of the cards of destiny and the love cards, which is something that I embrace and have enjoyed the last 4 years. And he is going to share with us more about these books that he has brought forth, some ancient fabled books who may even have linkage to Atlantis. So if you'd like to know the script of your life, as Susan and I have been talking about, and who the director and the producer are, then we invite you to join us with Robert Lee Camp as we explore the cards of destiny and the love cards. And following that, on May 6th, please join us for Colin Tipping. He has become quite recognized as one of the most powerful leading-edge thinkers in personal and spiritual growth, and he has brought forth information on radical forgiveness, which I think is extraordinary and part of the process as well. So we look forward to having him with us as well. And for more of the upcoming guests, I ask that you please join us each Sunday, and also you can explore that on our website, flying-higher.com. One new guest that we have on board that will be with us on May 13th, excited about Robert Schwartz, who has brought forth a book called Courageous Souls, It is actually part of what Susan and I were talking about tonight. Do we really plan our life challenges before birth? And he's written an extraordinary book that's just come out, and I suggest that you look into that a little bit further. You can go to www.courageoussouls.com. And again, there's more information on our site for that. So again, please join us as we invite these extraordinary authors and humanitarian light workers who lovingly tap into the essence of our beings. They are here to help redirect all of us on a path that helps us reach our highest potential. And each week they're going to share with us what's moving with them and through them, heart to heart and soul to soul, and to help us as we journey in the days ahead and as we fly through the dark clouds of negativity that can cloud our everyday lives. So again, we invite you to fly higher and higher each and every day and understand that you are a divine being and that you are here for a wonderful purpose. So thank you and blessings. Again, this is Gina Jones. This is Flying Higher on BBS Radio Late Night. Thank you and good night.